Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Okay, so probably since we started this podcast, what should we talk about? Any topics? Like, why are you yawning? Sorry, Michael just did like the biggest yawn. This is a great way into the show.
Everybody, I bet a few people listening right now yawned. Even saying yawn is contagious.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah, got him.
Okay, but no, everyone has been asking, I think every single time I would say, okay, who do you guys want me to interview? And One Tree Hill
always comes up.
Always.
Always.
Like, they're the most ride or die fans, like, ever. And anytime I'm ever at a show, I always have to obviously thank my One Tree Hill fans because they were there from the beginning.
Where are my Tree Hillers at?
I go, where are my Tree Hillers at?
And the biggest roar comes from that. Well, what's funny is we were just talking before we start recording is I need to find like a new show to binge because usually you'll fall asleep a little bit before I do in bed. Mm-hmm. And I'll get my iPad out and start watching something to fade to. So maybe I need to finally pull the trigger on that.
You would actually watch One Tree Hill?
I mean,
I feel like you would like it because there's like the basketball and there's sports.
But that stuff gets so cheesy when they try to do it in their shows.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, have you ever watched the first seasons before you were on?
No.
Yeah.
But then we can do it together. We can binge it together. That'd be so perfect.
That actually would be fun.
What? You want to?
Let's do it.
Okay. Really?
And we'll start talking about it.
Okay.
Because people love it.
You want to? It could be like oh my God, that'd be so good because we can like throw back. Yeah. Start talking about it.
Yeah. And people love it here and be like, remember on season one, episode five, when? I don't even know the character's names.
Wait, do you really want to do it?
Because
that would be fun. Because I've seen two episodes that I was in. And then besides that, I didn't watch one episode.
We're doing it.
And nothing before because we were kind of the new characters, you know? So I never watched anything before.
So you never researched to see what the history of all these characters were?
I wasn't. I didn't.
I was young and
but
I
we
job.
Have I'm so excited is hey Easton, is she there?
She's here.
Hey.
Hey, Joy.
Hi, Jana.
Hi, honey.
Oh my gosh, it's been so long.
When was the last time
long.
That we talked?
I don't know. I mean, it was probably a convention or something, right?
I've never done any of the conventions.
No, really?
Well, Well, first of all, say hi to my husband, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Joy.
This
heard so
is
much
Joy.
About
well,
you
technically, Bethany Joy.
Oh,
but,
it's
you know,
great to yes. sort of meet you.
Absolutely.
No, Joy, I actually was supposed to do a convention last, and I was supposed to sing and everything, like my first one.
Oh.
And they ended up pulling me out of it, but then telling people that I canceled. And I was like, I did not cancel. You guys pulled
what?
Me out of it because you said that you couldn't afford it. And
that's
it was the
weird.
One that I was texting. Oh, that was when we were texting about that. And I was like, because everyone was like, I don't know if we should do this convention. And I was like, well, I'm going to.
Oh, and yeah. I vaguely remember
all
this.
The money. And so then they ended up pulling me out of it. But it wasn't because they just didn't have any more funding. But they blamed it on me canceling. And I was like, no.
What?
So I basically just blew them out on my Twitter and was like, this is the message they sent me saying they didn't have any money. And this is the
this is them saying that
I was, remember how mad I was, Mike?
Yeah, you're pissed.
I was so, because I was like, don't say that I canceled when I had made plans and canceled other shows to be there.
Yeah,
they're trying to put the heat on you.
That's
I know.
Not right.
But I mean, I would love to see you at a convention.
Yeah, me too. How's Nashville? I love it down there.
We just moved back to Nashville about
2 months
ago.
Great.
We were living in LA for 2 years and then, you know, I was kind of getting back into the acting world of things and then realized you don't really need to be in LA.
Yeah.
And we love Nashville. So
Nashville is amazing. I love it out there.
Are you still singing?
Yeah. On and off. I took a break because, I started writing a musical and it took up a lot. So that all of my musical creative energy has been poured into that. And I'm a mom. I'm a single working mom. I'm
How
on
old
hiatus
is your baby
from
now?
The show. She's 8.
Oh wow. My God. How is she 8 years old?
It's insane.
What?
I know. Wait, do you have kids too, right?
I have a 3.5-year-old girl and then an 8-month-old boy.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Congratulations.
I cannot believe she's 8 though.
Yeah.
I remember when she was a baby.
Yep. I know.
What?
It's so crazy how it happens.
How is an 8-year-old little girl?
Third grade. It's so fun. She's really her own little person. She has her very specific tastes and opinions and things that she enjoys doing and doesn't enjoy. And she's her own little person, but she also, you know, needs mommy and wants me to snuggle at night. And still holds my hand when we walk down the street. It's great. I mean, she's the best. She's like the
when
best
did
kid.
You get divorced?
I think it was 2000. Well, I think it went through in 15, 16. 15
that was after Tree Hill, though.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I mean, we separated in 2012. Yeah, early 2012.
But your heart is good now.
Oh, yeah. Girl, it's been so long. I'm so good.
What years was it that you guys were working together on Tree Hill?
Oh, God. I'm so bad with math, babe.
What season did you show up, though, Jan?
I showed up the season after... When the whole, it was Chantel and...
Okay, so you came in season seven.
Seven.
Which was 2009.
Was it?
I think.
That's crazy, like 10 years ago.
What? Oh, God. That was 10 years
2008
ago?
2008 or 9.
Is it weird to, because I'm asking this just because I felt this past weekend, but to reconnect with somebody that you've been friends with for a long time or known for a long time at one stage of your life, but then you talk to each other now and you both have kids. Like, could you imagine 10 years ago, like you guys talking about having kids between you two? And just because this last weekend I was, you know, back in Baltimore, babe, and seeing my friends that I've like grown up with the last 10 years, mm-hmm. and now we all have wives and kids, and it's like, but when you're when you talk to them and you're together, you feel like you're still 20 in your 20s.
Yeah. Life changes a lot. It forces you to reevaluate your priorities, and you know, everybody sort of situates themselves in different ways once you get older and families start to show up. But I think about this a lot. I was taking a walk with Paul Johansson, and
who I love. Yes. Ran into him a couple months ago when we were hiking.
Oh, yeah.
He's the sweetest.
He's so great. And he was probably with Quinn, with his son.
He wasn't. He was showing me pictures.
Oh, yeah. Yes. So I was just talking with him the other day. We were taking a walk with the kids and just like, this is so crazy that we have known each other for 15 plus, it's about 15 years. And we have children. We have little children, 8-year-old children that are just running. Our kids are the same age and they're just running around. And it's a whole new world, a whole new life. It's amazing.
Now, what about you two together?
No.
Because I'm like, you guys have, you know. Yeah. The history.
No, we're great friends. It would never work. Oh, God, it would never work.
Wouldn't that just show, like, that would just throw the Tree Hillers, like, for the biggest.
they would lose their minds.
They would blow their minds. Blow their minds.
Yeah. No, Paul's a wonderful person. I love him dearly. He's one of my closest friends. But, you know, I mean, you know how you, when you meet people in life, and sometimes it's just like, it's a lot of great elements, but it's just not, you just know it's like, oh, this is not the right fit. It just wouldn't work.
What do you think you learned like from the divorce and kind of moving on from that situation? What was like your biggest takeaway with that besides probably being happier? But
I learned a lot about self-care and mostly just learning how to take care of myself and be how to respect myself, how to like it. It was a good catalyst for opening up a can of worms for me of a lot of levels of healing that I needed to deal with and go through. So in that regard, it was great. And you know, you can't ever regret anything that your children come out of, because she's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm. No question. Yeah. How soon, Jana and I were talking about this kind of recently, this topic of how soon when you start dating or when you're dating somebody, Joy, bringing up the fact that you have a child or an 8-year-old, is that a first date thing, or is it one of those things where you got to get to know them, see if there's any possibility of a future, and then you bring it up?
I always think it's so weird when I watch in movies or TV shows and there's a character who's like, I have a kid and I haven't told him. I have to tell him that I've got a kid.
Right.
I'm like, what? Just why is that not like the first thing out of your mouth? I don't understand.
I totally agree with you. I would do the exact same thing. I would sit down and be like, look, I have a kid.
Yeah.
She's the love of my life and my world revolves around her.
Yeah,
I just bring it up
casually, like, oh yeah, I had a long day. My daughter and I went to this or that or blah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, that's just part of my life. How is that like a big secret you have to?
Right, it shouldn't have to be.
Yeah,
I just remember
we were talking to Billy Lee about it because she's transgender,
right.
And you know she was saying that she wouldn't say it the first time.
Really?
That's a little different.
Which again is, but how is it different though? I feel like it's the same thing.
Manipulative to me, because if I was the dude or the whatever, if I was the other person in the situation, and you know, going on a date with somebody who had a kid, and then they like hid the fact that they had a kid from me for the whole first date, I'd be
agreed.
What the heck is up with you?
Yeah, I 100% agree. And then let alone a gender.
Right. I see what you're saying. Right. Sorry, I missed it. I thought maybe she had a kid and she...
No,
okay.
No. I mean...
How is it relevant that she's transgender? Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Right. I see. That's a little different. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I do think it's a little... Like, to get to know them just a date or two.
I would say someone... I dated this one guy and he... His real name wasn't his name. And I was like, ah.
That's weird.
That's not your name.
What? Why would he... Did he go by something else?
Yeah.
Was it like his middle name?
No. Just like...
Wait, yeah, was it like his name is John and he was going by Steve? Or was it like he was like going by, you know, Duke or something?
Yeah, like, that's it right there.
No, his name was Ace and his real name was like Bobby.
All right. Ace is a nickname. You know? That's fair.
But I was just like, who are you?
Robert. My real name is Robert.
Who are you even? What? No, but I'm so confused.
I get what you're saying. It shouldn't be such a secret. I remember this was, God, like 8-9 years ago. When I was living in Florida, I was playing down there, and this girl I was talking to, and
what was her name? What's her Instagram handle?
We were hanging out, and I remember after a few times of us hanging out, she texted me and was like, "Hey, I have something like basically serious or really important to tell you," and I started freaking out. I'm like, "Is she pregnant?
Right?
I'm like,
do we have another stepchild around?
I'm in the locker room, like with some of my teammates. Like, what does this mean? We're trying to decipher, and we're all guys. We don't know. You know, we can't decipher that stuff like y'all can." And then come to find out, she tells me, she's like, "I have a 3-year-old daughter." I'm like, oh my God. Thank God. Jeez. Like, that's it. Like, wow. That's all you could have told me that day one. It wouldn't have mattered. So I get what you're saying.
What is that? Why do you think women are afraid to mention that?
I think it's beautiful that we're moms.
I think too.
To meet the child definitely is a timely thing.
Oh, 100%.
But to tell them. Yeah. I agree with you both that it could be.
How long do you wait until another man or woman meets your child? I don't know if you like switched ways. Either
You're so
way,
political,
I love you.
Honey.
Either way, Joy.
No, I'm still straight.
Okay.
I usually like to, it's like second date because it's just a meet and greet. Just like, yeah, I pick me up at the house and then I'm like, whether I'm like not ready yet and I give them a chance to just like sit and chat in the living room for a second, you know, I don't mind.
That's
somebody.
Like, what if you have a date like every week? It's a lot of meet and greets. No judgment. A lot of meet and greets.
I guess you haven't hung out with me in a while.
Which Joy are we talking about? The Joy from 10 years ago?
No, that is not my life. No, I'm a very slow, shy dater.
Got it.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm not like out.
So your second date is probably like my 6 months.
I just don't know. It's just not like I think the problem is I'm attracted to very few people. I'm just really not attracted to people most of the time.
What are you attracted to?
That's the thing. I don't really have a type. It's like, it's kind of hard to tell. There's just something that happens. And, I'm attracted to all, races, all like body types. Like there's no
fat, large, skinny.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, I love a chubby guy. I love a guy that's in shape. I generally want somebody kind of bigger, like big and strong. Like I'd like to feel like I'm being enveloped in big arms.
Ooh.
That's always nice. Like, you know, nice and lumberjack feeling. But you know,
Paul Johansson, lumberjack. I'm kidding.
But yeah, so it just doesn't, and especially in LA, I think I'm more of a kind of a homegrown girl, and I don't know, I'm just not attracted to that many people. So
do you think, so you're still living in LA?
Yeah.
Is that where your new show shoots?
It is. Yes. We're in.
What?
Oh, wow.
Is that
it
amazing?
In LA.
I know. I got so lucky.
What?
It's amazing.
So you're on a new show called Pearson.
Yes.
And it's a spinoff of Suits, right?
Right. So it's Jessica Pearson, who was one of the head lawyers. She was the head of the firm at Pearson Spector Litt. And she was disbarred by me. Thank you very much. And she moves to Chicago, where her family is, and kind of gets tied up in the world of dirty politics. And she can't technically function as a lawyer. So she's working for the mayor with this amazing office, but nobody really knows what she does. And technically I'm her boss, but I can't fire her. And she does whatever she wants and, you know, creates havoc. And so it's fun.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I've actually talked to Paul about this too, is you are one of the best actresses that we've ever worked with. Aww. And he said that I've always said that. I mean, you are truly the most, how do I say it? Like, you're just so present in scenes and you're so believable and you're so real. It's always an honor to say that, like, I've acted alongside you because you're so talented.
Jana, thank you.
I've always like been your cheerleader, since leaving One Tree Hill. And, you know, I was really excited when you got, offered Songbird, and cause I was like, oh man, that's going to be amazing for her. And, I've just always kind of followed what you've done. Cause I never understood why you haven't broken out, because I think you're fantastic. So I'm just so happy that you have the show now and you're kicking ass and you're doing your thing.
Me too. Yeah. It's all God's timing, and I've learned so much. And the more that I look back on my life and, the things that I've gone through and the different opportunities I've had and have turned down, or opportunities I haven't had and missed and all those sorts of things, the more I see sort of like divine hand just guiding everything, to get me where I am today. Cause I feel like I would never have been ready for it before. I just wouldn't have been healthy enough to know what to do with that kind of, responsibility, you know?
Isn't that funny that things seem to come just at the right time when you're ready?
Yeah. It's so frustrating too, because you don't understand, like, why didn't I get this role? Why didn't I get this? Or what, you know, why is this happening? Yeah.
Right. But if things would have happened on a different timeline, you wouldn't have been able to
fulfill
your potential in them.
Exactly.
If it was at a different time.
So then how do you stay calm? Like, how do you stay in that peace of not getting so upset about something, or just knowing that it's not the right time? But still actively fighting.
I mean,
for something.
It's a daily thing. It's not like super easy. Not like I flipped a switch, but I do believe in that saying that, you know, God always gives us what we would have asked for if we knew everything that He knows, or it knows, or whatever. So for me, there's a real comfort there in knowing that, you know, I have an active faith, an active prayer life. I'm involved in my friends' lives, and, you know, I have I'm actively trying to be conscious of the way I am in the world and make wise decisions, but I only have a limited view, and right. I at some point I've got to just let go of control, and the more I let go, the easier things are and the better things tend to go.
So hard though.
Yeah.
Because you just, well, especially with our careers and stuff. I mean, you know, now Mike, you knew too with your football, you just never know when you're not, as I'm like, I just said the other day, I was like, I told my trainer, Aaron, I was like, you know, I guess I'm never going to act again. I'm never going to do it.
What? No, you're good, Jana. Well, that's not true.
I booked a movie like 2 days later. Great, but it was just one of those things where you get to that point where you're like, well, I guess this isn't like in the cards anymore. Because you just get so, you get so defeated.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had quit before I got Pearson. I called my managers. Oh, yeah. I called my managers. I called everybody. I was like, guys, it's run its course. I'm done. Nobody's hiring me. And I'm just like, I can take this rejection when I was 20.
Right.
I can't do this anymore. I have a kid and I'm a good writer. I'm a good director. I'm a musician. I can make things and sell them on Etsy. Like, I don't know, but I have to find a way, and I just can't keep going on auditions. And this came in like a couple months later, and it was one of the few that they sent me that they were like, please, just, we think you should go on this.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you just were like, all right, I'll do it.
Yeah, I did.
And
but it was hard.
I
know. But it was so hard because it's like to be able to let go of caring whether or not people like you. I mean, that's really the thing, right? Like in our industry or in the public eye, our viability relies on whether or not people like us. So we're constantly trying to do things to make sure that we're on the likable page, and to get to a point where you just don't care.
Which is just so screwed up, because most of our childhood wounds are from not feeling good enough.
Completely.
So it's like, wow, just tapping into the childhood wounds. Yep. Just really hitting a real deep core. Thanks, people.
Let me pick a career that has to do with feeling good enough.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal.
God. Okay. Well, moving on though, because I know I'm going to get totally chastised. Is that the word? If I don't ask questions about One Tree Hill.
Sure.
I mean, they're going to be like, you had her on the show and didn't ask one question about One Tree Hill. Best thing about One Tree Hill?
Oh man, the experience. Like that's
but really.
But no. I know. I mean, that's such a vague answer. The best thing about One Tree Hill, I don't know. I mean, there, I couldn't say one best thing. Living in Wilmington, getting the chance to live on my own and work on my own and be a successful woman in entertainment at 20 years old to 20, 28, 29. You know, like that was an extraordinary experience. I fell flat on my face in a lot of ways and I thrived in a lot of ways. And it was just a total once in a lifetime and singularly unique experience.
Would you love most about Haley?
Oh, I guess I just love that she was always willing to grow, you know, at the end of the day. As stubborn as she was always willing to grow at the end of the day.
What was your favorite thing about One Tree Hill?
Gina? Mine?
Yeah. You were on the show too?
I don't know. You've never watched an episode, so how would you know if I was on One Tree Hill or not?
I hear
Jenna's
everyone scream it.
Favorite thing about One Tree Hill was being directed by me.
You were an amazing director. You were so good.
Thanks. No, but seriously, like what did you love about that? You were down there for... Did you live down there or were they bringing you in? But I feel like you lived there for a while with us,
I lived
right?
there, yeah. No, I lived there the entire time. It was hard for us because I felt like when we came on the show, just being so honest, it was a very divided set.
Yeah, yeah.
So I feel like everyone kind of already had their places.
Yeah.
And it was either you're going to be on the A team or the B team, you know?
Yeah.
Essentially.
And yeah, I can feel that.
It was just tricky. And then, you know, I think our creator also kind of created that environment for us as well, which obviously he's, you know, I don't know what he's doing now, but so I think that was probably the hard part about it. But I mean, I loved my character. She was so, Alex was just really fun
so
and spunky
fun.
And got to be like super creative and, you know,
you were such a firecracker. You always had such a great energy. I loved being in scenes with you because it was like, there was somebody who was like, there's a firecracker in the room. Like you never knew what was going to go off. It was great.
It was me. No, and then because I lived with Sophia in Austin actually.
For you lived with them?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, we lived downtown on First Street.
Oh God, that's how downtown, out of it I was. I mean,
well, we didn't really spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, I mean, I was in my own world. I was married. I was like, I was going through a lot of shit and just like checked out of a lot of stuff for a while.
Yeah. But
and you guys live downtown where?
We were above this bar. It was so annoying. You can't really tell a bar to like stop, but no, you know, I'm like, well, I have to film in the morning. Can you shut up?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was awful. I hated it. We lived there for like a year and a half. And then the other year we lived in Wrightsville.
That's great out there.
Yeah. So that was really nice. But I mean, Wilmington was just a small town.
Yeah.
But I obviously enjoyed it, but you know, looking back, there was a lot of things that I would have probably done differently. But I think we can all say that.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You can't say that about their
that's
past.
What your 20s are for.
That's right.
I know. I just got, oh, Jana 20s. She wasn't thriving. She thought she was. She was not. If you could go back, what would you do differently this time around?
Oh,
if there was
gosh.
To be a One Tree Hill point. 2.0.
You mean go back to my 20s or like
no,
like
no,
if we
no.
all went back
if
now? We,
yeah, if everyone went back, which I doubt that would. Do you think that ever happened?
I don't know. I don't think
you could get Sophia to sign back on.
Yeah, I think there's enough money that could get Sophia to sign back. I think you could.
They would need to. I mean,
I think you could.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think so. But I think it would have to. None of it would have to go to the showrunner. I think that's a problem. That's the problem is that. The creator of the show makes money on any incarnation of the show afterwards, and of course, that's its own issue. So I think that would be the big thing standing in the way. Unless he was like willing to donate it all or something,
right? If you could go back, you would direct everything.
No,
never the control freak
and showrun everything. That's right. No, I would. I don't know. It would be great to just go back and not have it feel like it was. Divided in any way or like, you know, when we were going through a rough patch that I think we're all just older now. It'd be so much easier to just like really enjoy each other's company and enjoy showing up at work, appreciate having a job, appreciate being someplace where we know we have such a huge fan base. It's just all stuff that I know very few 20-year-olds and 25-year-olds who are capable of that kind of understanding.
So true.
No, they think they're going to do it forever.
That's right. I mean, you know what? Who honestly, the only person on that set who I think actually got it at that young age was James.
Oh, yeah. I can see that.
He's the only person that like knew how fleeting it was and how lucky he was.
But I also think it's a girl thing, too. I think girls have a hard time. I think, you know, just an outsider's standpoint, you know, is everyone wanted to maybe be the star. And it's, you know, am I talking out of my mouth? Is that wrong? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like you mean like having competition or whatever?
Yeah, the competition, which is there's healthy competition. But at the same time, it's just in your
it's
early 20s.
It's just insecurities. And, yeah, everybody's just insecure. Yeah, I mean.
So I think it would be, you know, now that we're older hags, we could definitely all go back.
Older hags, yes, 30s.
Yeah, I do remember. I do remember having moments of those of just like, yeah, you're just in the hair and makeup trailer, and you're thinking like, oh, this she looks prettier than me today, or like, oh, why does my hair this color and why does hers get to be that color and why, you know, it's like just stupid. It's just everything that you feel when you're in sixth grade, and you just don't grow out of it until you're like late 20s, hopefully, you know.
Right. Yeah, let's hope so. Well, now, though, I mean, you get to really create the environment that you want on your new show. And I'm just like, what day is it airing again? Because I know it just aired on July 17th.
Yeah.
Which is
so
amazing.
Pearson's on Wednesday nights on USA at 10, 9 Central. And it is a great cast. It's a great cast of lovely adults who all seriously appreciate having a job, and not just a job, but a job where we really get to enjoy what we do. And we love the writing and we love the people we're working with, and we're having fun. It's really great.
I love it. Well, everyone, please watch the show. Joy's the best actress ever, so you will not be disappointed.
Aww,
Joy,
thanks, Jana.
Seriously, thank you. And if you're ever in Nashville, please just let us know.
I will. I love it down there.
Okay.
Thanks guys.
Joy.
Thanks Joy. Michael. Love you guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Once Jana and I had Jace and we had two young kids, we knew we really needed to invest in our sleep. And that's why we chose Sleep Number, because it's not just a bed, it's proven quality sleep. So it makes the most of every minute and every hour that you spend in bed. So many couples disagree on mattress firmness, but the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed lets you choose your ideal firmness on each side so it's right for both of you. For me, I like it softer. Jana likes it a little bit harder. The Sleep Number 360 beds are so smart, they sense your every move and automatically adjust to you, keeping you sleeping comfortably throughout the night. And that was the biggest thing for me, because I constantly toss and turn, and it always drove Jana nuts. So now, with the Sleep Number, she doesn't feel anything, it adjusts to me when I move around, and we're both happy. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses by J.D. Power. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Come in now and save up to $600 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest to you at sleepnumber.com/Jana.
All right, so would you watch One Tree Hill now?
I think we should.
I really think it'd be funny.
It would be funny. But it has to entertain me.
What do you mean?
Like, if we're getting through it and I'm just like, this is unbearable.
You don't think it'll entertain you?
I mean, I hope so.
How many episodes do you really honestly have to get? Because it took me 3 episodes to get into Big Little Lies the first season.
How many episodes are in a season of One Tree Hill?
God, like 22.
Was it a 30-minute show?
Hour. I don't know. I think it's an hour.
Excuse you?
I think it's an hour. Yeah. I think there's, because back in the day, they used to do 22 episodes. And now it's like 6 episodes. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I just waited, you know, 6 months, 7 months.
It is a 1-hour show.
1-hour show. How many episodes?
There's 187 episodes.
I mean, let's go.
It's available on Hulu now.
Oh, I think they actually just got off Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
they recently just got off Netflix, which is a massive bummer, because that'd have been easy.
Season 1 itself is 22 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I mean, that was how it was back in the day. Like, you would do 22 episodes. I mean, I think I did 15 episodes in season 7.
Tell you what, man. IMDb, like, every episode is, like, 9.5, 9.2.
Yeah, and people love the show. Love it. I mean, look at my shows. That's the only reason that I have people coming to my shows is because.
Jana,
by the way,
at that Anaheim show,
Can we just talk about that? We need to talk about it.
We do need to talk about that.
Michael, did you end up seeing the whole video that I sent of Easton singing on stage?
Yes.
The entire video?
Not the entire video.
Just the thing that I sent you? I sent you a longer, better version of it, and it was...
I know Amy sent emails of the video.
Incredible. No, there was even more.
I haven't watched it. I forgot about it.
Easton, can you just describe how that was for you? You want to just set the scene for everybody?
Yes, please.
That was one of the greatest moments of my entire life. I went to see Jana perform at the Anaheim House of Blues, and you know, like any other fan, I was really excited. Jana texted me on the way saying like, "Hey, I'm feeling kind of sick. My voice is pretty gone. I need you to sing along really loud tonight." And I was like, "I got you, no problem." and then when we were at the show, like Jana like shouted me out a couple times, which made me feel pretty cool to the people around me. When you like invited me up on stage, I thought you were just going to be like, "Hey everybody, this is Easton. He works on the podcast. Everyone say hi. Okay, Easton, bye. Go back to your scenes." But I had no idea you're going to let me sing the whole song. I felt bad for everyone who it was Whiskey, the song we sang, and that's a huge song. It's a massive song. I felt bad for everyone who like came to see that song and then got me up there. Oh my God, what a fun time. That was just so much fun, Jana. Thank you so much for having me up there.
Oh my gosh, of course. And for those of you that want to see the video, I put it up on my Instagram page, the entire thing. And I just love the fact, you're pulling it up.
Oh, this is you. You're like walking up.
The entire...
Wow, look at this crowd.
I know. I told you, it was like one of my biggest crowds yet. Okay. It was an amazing show.
Easton goes
show.
Up there, he grabs his mic. I'm surprised you didn't have like in-ears in your back pocket. Let's do this.
I know, right? No, but he, you know, I wrote in my caption, I said, you know, this is a reminder to everyone to basically own the moment that you have and to, you know, I mean, you embrace it. And my mic went out, Mike.
What?
Yeah. So my mic, my voice was pretty much shot to hell, but my mic went out and I was like pointing to my monitor guy. And he's like, "Hey, you have to bring me the mic." And then Easton started just jumping up and running around and singing the rest of the... I mean, he sang the entire like second part of the song by himself and just owned it so amazingly. I was so proud of you, Easton.
Thank you.
And it just, I mean, you killed it.
There were some people that hit me up and they're like, "Okay, that was planned, right? Like, and you planned for her mic to go out." And I'm like, I did not sabotage Jana Kramer. No.
But Easton, Jana and I were talking about that, like when she had got home and we were talking more about it. You have this innate ability to just seize a moment. And it's like all of those things, like how many times, like I know I can say in my life, Jana, you can probably say in yours, where you had an opportunity to do something wild and crazy like that. And then your inhibitions stopped you. And you're like, no. But then a few days later, you're like, "Why didn't I just do that?
Yeah.
Who cares how I look? Who cares how I sound? Just do it." And you do that. Like, I feel like every time I've been in a situation where you've had that opportunity, you just take it.
Well, thank you, Mike. That means a lot to hear. That night specifically at the House of Blues, like that was when we were Allison and I were driving home, my wife Allison, and we were like, I was just like, I am so happy with how I handled that. Like, because there's a lot of times on a daily basis where I go, "Ooh, I shouldn't have done that," or I should have done something differently. But that was when I was like, "Wow, I really could have screwed that up," and I think I did it pretty well.
You didn't do it pretty well. You owned it. And it just made me so happy because, again, like to Mike's point, like there's so many times where you could have even been on the drive home and been like, "Oh, I could have been funnier. I really could have like done it." And I could have like really, I mean, but you did it. Like you were you and you freaking like sang it, like sang your heart out, which by the way, Easton, didn't know you also had a song.
I'm sorry, a bit of a musical background.
On a second. Right now. Are you ready for this?
Oh my God.
This is how it starts.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is how you get your record deal.
Easton Allen, Sound and Theory. You can get it on Spotify.
I will say.
It's on Spotify?
It's on Spotify.
I have an EP on Spotify.
He has an EP on Spotify.
Did you hack Spotify?
This is Nachos.
There's a music video for this song.
When is it starting?
You can skip to it. This is a pretty long intro for the DJ to talk that one up. But I will say that was my one time. Everyone, all of your fans, Dan, are so nice. And I got so many cool messages from people. Mm-hmm. Everybody was really nice. The closest thing I got to like someone like trolling me, someone DM'd me and said, what you lack in singing ability, you make up for in your dance moves. And I'm like, sweetie, take a listen. And I just sent her the link to the Spotify album. She's like, I stand corrected. And
it's called Low Self-Esteem.
Yep.
So where did, but I, here's the thing.
You have a song called Throat Tattoo.
I do.
It's amazing.
I love how this interview is like now turned to like interviewing Easton.
Look at your background picture. It's the best.
I don't agree. Like, do you think you have a low self-esteem?
The reason I called it that, I wrote all the songs like in 2010 and, I thought that it, cause I play every instrument. I wrote all the songs and I sing every, like the whole thing is just me. It's just me. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that it was very much like a, look at me. I clearly have self-esteem problems. Like pay attention to me. Look at all the stuff that I did. So it's kind of like, it was called like Easton Allen has low self-esteem was like the idea behind it. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know. I think I had a lot of issues with that back then, but I think I've fix them now. I think I'm a pretty confident person at this point.
You got to be a confident person to do what you did in the show.
Yeah. So, and I love that about you. So wrapping that up, I really appreciate you being there for me that day because I will tell you, you were the only friend that actually showed up too.
Oh my God.
I mean, now all my fans are my friends, but you know what I mean? Like my people that I actually know, you were the only one that showed up.
Yeah.
Other people said they were going to come and they didn't come. So I appreciate it.
Well, Jan, if you come anywhere on the West Coast, I will go to that show. I am a huge fan and I'm very, very grateful to call you my friend.
Oh, what were we going to say, Michael?
I was going to say, moving on to a more important topic.
Why you were kind of fringy Easton, this morning.
Easton, how many times have you watched Endgame since it's been out?
Oh, Jesus.
We bought it on iTunes and I turned it on to like the middle just to, I wanted to rewatch one scene and Allison and I just watched the whole thing the rest of the way through. I've seen it like three times since it's been on home video.
Absolutely.
Can we watch it together one time? I'd love to watch it so I can fall asleep to it if I have to.
You don't know what's going on.
Does it matter?
It all matters.
So I couldn't watch it.
But Easton, I watched it. It came out and I watched it over the series of like this past weekend, like on my flight back east to Baltimore because I was going there for a golf tournament nightly for a few minutes till I fell asleep and then finished it on the plane coming back yesterday or Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. And I'm on the plane. I have the last hour to watch, which is like the best.
Oh, right? It's the best.
The last hour is amazing. And the same part still got me. I was getting teary-eyed on the plane, a packed Southwest flight on the aisle watching the end of Endgame with tears in my eyes.
I've seen that movie like 9 or 10 times at this point. I still get goosebumps and tear up and everything.
Just it's Avengers Assemble. Just bends.
You know what I watch? A fold like origami. Devil Wears Prada. So good.
Anyways, I knew you've had to have watched it multiple times since it came out, but we can move on.
Okay. Instead of talking about the Avengers, I would like to talk about one of our great sponsors.
We all love a good subscription box, don't we? What about a subscription box for your kids? That's fun, educational, and helps them develop that creative confidence to change the world. Our kids are the future, and it's our job to prepare them for that. KiwiCo creates super cool hands-on projects for kids to make them learning about STEAM fun. STEAM is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, art, and math. There's a Tadpole, Koala, Kiwi, Atlas, Doodle, Tinker, and Eureka crates. We just did the Koala crate for Jolie, which is in the ages from 3 to 4. It delivered fun hands-on activities to engage the natural curiosity and creativity of Jolie in play-based learning. It's been so much fun for us to do together. KiwiCo is a convenient, affordable way to encourage your children to be anything they want. There's no commitment. You can cancel anytime. Monthly options start at $19.95 a month, including shipping. For our listeners, go to kiwico.com/Jana to get your first month free. Every day counts when it comes to making a difference, so don't miss out on this amazing opportunity. Again, go to kiwico.com/Jana and get your very first month free. That's kiwico.com/Jana.
Why? Can I say something though? Since, you know, this is a relational podcast.
Sure.
You were kind of in a mood this morning on the way here.
On the way here?
Yeah, you just seem really like agitated at me for some reason. I was just curious if you want to talk about it on air. I don't know what it was. I just felt like you were hungry. So we were having a conversation and then you're like, I'm going to go eat because I know you get hangry.
Mm-hmm.
So then you ate, but then I don't feel like you recovered from your hangriness. And then you just kind of felt
I was just still processing and realizing that feelings that I had were just, I don't know the word. They were just feelings that I was having from something that I said before we left the room. I just kind of let it marinate. It's like, do I need to say something back to this? I was like, no, I don't. I don't. I don't need to create more of an issue on something that we've already talked about. So it's me growing up.
Wow. Good job, hey.
It's actually what it is.
Are you sure? Because I don't want you to like hinder any emotions because I want you to be able to.
No, I am sure. And it was just me, I think, on the car right here. You know, we're both doing, you're doing some stuff on your phone and I was still processing. It's like, do I want to talk about
this? Well, I was letting you be quiet. I was trying to be quiet because I could sense it and I didn't want to bring it up. I was just like, all right, if he's going to talk to me, because I don't want to be like, what's wrong, babe? Because you always get mad at me about that.
Yes.
So I was like, all right, if there's something he wants to talk about, he's going to bring it to me. And I'm just going to kind of do my thing right now.
Yeah. And again, as I continue to process in the car ride to the studio, I just realized even further. I was like, I don't need to say anything on this. I don't. I just need to show up and get things, you know, do what we talked about.
And you're not holding any resentment?
No, I'm not. I'm honestly not. I've let it go. And I'm just like, bringing this certain thing back up on something that we're working on. I was like, it's not going to go anywhere.
Mm.
It's not going to solve anything else. So why don't I just let it go? Not push it down, but let it go and move on. And I feel better because of it.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm trying to be an adult after I talk about Avengers. So.
Okay. Well, if it comes back up, babe, and it's still in you, then I would like to hear you out.
Well, I appreciate that.
I appreciate you appreciating you appreciating that.
Appreciate your appreciation of appreciating that.
Do we have any emails?
We do. We do. This one's from Danielle.
Okay.
Not our producer, Danielle, a different Danielle. How do you balance home, family life, and friends? I feel like since I've had my baby, I find it really hard to hang out with my previous friends. I crave a friendship outside the one my husband and I have, but it's hard finding good common ground with others. I wish I had more mom friends. Any tips?
It's so hard to juggle all of those things because you want to be a good mom. You want to be a good wife. You also want to be a good friend. And unfortunately, the friend one always seems to fall a little bit more by the wayside, depending on your personality, I guess.
But as it should.
For sure.
And the hierarchy should be your spouse and kids and then your friends.
Yeah, no, for sure. But it also you need your time to.
Gotta have it.
Yeah, you have to have it. So again, for the wife, you know, it's like we need it too. And it's hard for us to do that when we feel like we're juggling. We have so much responsibility.
Right. That you guys put on yourselves. And even, again, we talked about how many times have we talked about on here. I have to physically like push you out of the house to do something.
Right.
It's a little easier here in Nashville because of your core group here.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it's, you know.
I've met a few mom friends at parks. Parks are a really good place. There's also this new app. This is not an ad, but there's also this app called Peanut. It's basically like a Tinder for moms, like in your area. It's pretty cool. You can meet like moms and what you're into and stuff. So that's another way to meet some mamas. But I would say, you know, or even just calling your friend. Like sometimes like I'll do my girlfriend, Kristen, and I like we'll have Skype dates where we just have a glass of wine and because we can't leave because we don't have a sitter or, you know, and we just Skype and drink wine that way.
And, you know, if her friends are just not in that place of life yet, still tell her friends that. Be like, hey guys, I really miss you and I'd love to hang out. I can't leave because the baby's gonna be sleeping. You know, we can't get a sitter. My husband's here. Can y'all come over?
Mm-hmm.
Or one friend, you just want to come over and have some wine or watch it, just whatever it is.
Yeah.
Have them come to you. A friend will do that.
100%.
You know what I mean?
You just have some grace with yourself. It's a new, you know, it's a new time of your life and you have to, you'll get adjusted to it. It's just new.
Yeah,
you know,
and
it's hard.
When you first have, if it's like a true baby, like when you first have them, if it's your first and they're really young, It seems like there's no light at the end of the tunnel to ever do something for yourself.
No, totally. And I thought when we had Jace, those first 3 months, I was like, I guess I'm never going to step outside this house, and I'm never going to be able to wash my hair and curl it and put on makeup.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, okay. Right. He's crawling around.
And I thought, I was like, I'm never going to play golf again. I'm never going to see anybody. And this past weekend, I was golfing all weekend.
Look at you now.
Look at us now.
Anything else, Easton?
Yeah, we got one from Anonymous. Those are always good.
Ooh, yeah.
I've been living with my boyfriend for about a year. I have a 2.5-year-old son. Lately, the topic of money has become a very sore subject. We work for the same company. He makes 3 times as much as I do. Mm-hmm. I recently have found a passion of mine that I want to follow as a career, but in order to do so, I would need to cut back to part-time. That idea was shut down immediately. I said that I would move in with my parents to save money, and he said, do it. But I know that our relationship would not last. How would you handle this situation?
I think that's not fair that he's saying you can't do something if it's something you want to do. Right?
Yeah. I get, from a practical mindset, I get the financial part of it, like maybe why he would have maybe some concerns and express those as concerns, but ultimately he should be supportive.
I mean, she does have a son though, so she has to be mindful of how she's supporting her son. So if
right,
it's just
and it's
him,
not his son.
Yeah. So if it's just him supporting, that's tricky because if you guys are just dating, that's a different scenario. If you guys were married or even engaged, I think that would be a different topic.
Yeah, for sure. If they were a little bit more serious in their status of their relationship, then it would be probably be easier for him too to justify, all right, absolutely, I support that. I'll mm-hmm. support you and your son. He makes 3 times as much at the same company.
Yeah.
Should be able to do that. But
what if I was like, I want to quit all this or not quit all this, but I want to start part time. Like I want to start a wedding because I love wedding planning. I want to do a wedding planning thing. And I know that's not realistic because I have to support the family, and work and do these other things. And you would be like, whoa.
It would be hard in our situation because we work together.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, if we were, I don't know. Yeah.
Right. But
still,
if when I was doing medical sales and you said that, like, I just want to quit entertainment altogether and I want to focus on starting my own event planning business, I'll be 100% for it. Mm-hmm. We'd make it work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I would have no issue with that. I'm kidding. This
Jana Kramer weddings.
This sounds a lot like, the Jim, Pam, and Roy triangle in The Office.
Oh God.
Easton, did you watch The Office?
The Office is a hole in my entertainment background.
I got no one on here to understand the reference.
Describe it to us then, honey.
Pam was engaged to Roy. She wanted to go into graphic design and do more art stuff and made a job as a secretary. Roy was like, well, what are we gonna do for money? Even though he worked there too, in the warehouse. And Jim, who was her friend, but they really loved each other. They haven't confessed it yet. Jim was like, do it. Is what you want to do? Do it. And everyone watching is just like, yes, Jim. Pam, that's where you should be with Jim.
I feel like you're reading us a bedtime story about The Office. I know. It was very soothing.
I hope there's listeners out there that know what I'm talking about. Easton, do we have another email?
We have
one
more.
Did you hurt?
No, it was the chair. Okay.
Jeez. Oh, I don't know. Because the other day when we were in bed were about to get a little closer cuddling, he's like, you want to come over? He's like, baby, come
real
land. He's like,
naughty.
He's like, come lay on my chest. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm getting lucky. And then I lean over, I lift the sheets up, and I was like, holy shit. He Dutch ovened me. And I was just like, good night, turned around, went to bed. I mean, that's the best way to not be intimate. Good job on you, boo.
But I wanted to be.
Well, that was like disgusting. It was like you had 3 eggs that were like rotten in our bed.
It happened when you were in the bathroom still. I thought it was going to be gone, but I didn't lift the covers to let it air out. And you walked into a death trap.
Disgusting. I don't understand.
What do you want from me?
What do you want from me? Easton?
This is an appropriate email, actually. How do you keep the romance or intimacy alive when you have a gassy partner? No, when you're trying to conceive. We've been trying for 6 months now, and my husband will complain that it feels scheduled, planned, and it's taking all the fun out of it. Do you or Mike have any advice or suggestions for keeping it fun and intimate when actively trying to conceive?
All right, I'm going to get real aggressive on this.
This is interesting.
Can I go first?
Please, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And I know where Michael's stance is because the guys are like, you know, I just feel like I'm just a machine and I have to do it. Look, it is hard for women to get pregnant. We have about 2 days out of the month.
I said it's hard for a baby.
Stop it. No, we have 2 days out of the month to get pregnant. Okay. And if we don't have sex on that 2 day, they say a week, but because the sperm can live and grow and fly up there, but really, truly, there's 2 days that I've been told. And if we do not have sex on that day and you guys do not ejaculate inside of us,
then, this is a family show, Gemma.
Then we are screwed and have to wait a full other freaking month. And let me tell you, when you're trying to get pregnant, there's so much f-ing pressure. Sorry, Easton, on us. No, because it's like, there's so much pressure when you're actually really physically trying. So then it gets frustrating when the guy's like, I just feel like I'm whatever. I'm like, well, you know what? We have to wait a full other month. It's like we want to have kids. We don't want to have to keep waiting because we know that we only have a 2 day thing. So you know what? With everything that we have to deal with, I'm really getting angry right now. With everything that we have to deal with, it's like, I'm sorry that you guys feel that way, that you feel like it's boring or that it's just like, oh, I just feel like I have to do this and it feels so, you know, scheduled and what. Yeah, you know what? It does. Okay. And every other time I'll let you turn me over and do whatever you want to do and have fun. But for those 2 days a month, fucking sorry, Easton, you know, knock on our door and say, hey, baby, let's make a baby and let's be excited and let's have that energy. Because you know what? It sucks for us to have to get to have to deal with this pregnancy. OK, to try to freaking get pregnant.
I love this. How many women are listening to right now? Like, preach, like just pulling over to the side of the road. And like, yes, girl.
No, because you guys do not understand. It is so hard. It's so frustrating. And we have these little maybe baby apps and it's like, okay, this is the week. This is the week. Like we have to do it. And it really has to be. And it's like, I mean, Michael and I, sorry, Easton, Michael and I, we even got into a fight about this. The night Jace was conceived, because I was like, honey, I don't want to wait another month to, like, please, I know, like, can you just come inside of me? Because can we? And he's like, I'm tired. Well, aren't you so glad that you did? Because that baby has kept our marriage together.
You're welcome. Man.
Would you like to say anything?
Terrified to say anything. But this is perfect timing. I'll tell you why. But first, you know. We're men. We're not pieces of meat. You know what I was going to say?
Oh, like when you flip us over.
I'm just saying. Like you want us we have feelings too.
2 days out of the month.
Maybe light some candles. Take us out somewhere. Make us feel pretty. Okay? Jeez, we're not light switches. Unbelievable. But it's funny because just this past weekend when I was with my buddies in Baltimore in a golf tournament, I'll leave names out of it for anonymity, but one of my buddies,
either Abby Al. No, I'm kidding.
One of my buddies, his wife was ovulating, and so we had to wake up early to tee off every morning. And she wakes him up at like 5:45.
Yeah.
And his alarm was going off at 6. She's like, "Hey, wake up! I'm ovulating." And he rolls over, looks at his phone, sees the alarm. He's like, "Honey, that's a tall ask right now." He's like, I got a full day of golf. She's like, f*** your golf. She said that to him.
She did?
Yeah. Sorry, Easton. You can bleep that out, but it's good to keep. Yeah, she's like, F your golf. He's like, honey. The fact that he turns up, he's like, that's a tall ask.
I mean, but seriously.
So ultimately, when we were done for the day, before dinner, mm-hmm. He went home, showered, took care of business, and then came back.
Okay, good. Good job.
He was good. After, you know, he was tired and after golfing all day and on his feet in the hot sun, drinking some beers, he went home, did what he had to do.
I feel like that'd be a hard order too, drinking beers.
That's a tall ask. But did it. And it was funny because we were talking about that. And a bunch of us that are dads have all been through that and have kids. And it's like, you know, obviously we don't know what it's like to be on that schedule. And we try to, but it's...
Have the pressure of, you know, our... of tracking all that stuff and then knowing that we only have that much time and then we have to wait another month to maybe try to conceive again for that really short window.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's just funny because historically speaking, right, men are the one who initiate sex.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're faced with the opposite and we feel pressure, it's like all of a sudden we're like, I'm not available. I'm tired.
It's so messed up.
It's just, it's interesting. I would love to know the psychology, like a psychological study around it, because it is really interesting.
It is interesting.
But
it's so frustrating though. And I feel your pain, but here's for the, make your husband listen to this. You just, and the husbands out there, please just, it's so hard on us. And it would just be really nice if you guys just showed up and didn't freaking complain about it, because we have to go through so much.
Yeah. And if, like, so for Ashley, who wrote the email, if she was able to tell her husband ahead of time.
Yeah.
Hey, next month, these are the days I'm ovulating. Just like you tell me.
Oh, yeah,
like, hey, these are the days, because it would help you feel mm-hmm. less pressure if I was the one that came to you. Hey, I know we have to have sex these days.
No, I mean, but I wanted you to be aware that I was like going to be wanting sex.
Right, but it's great because then it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, like jump out and scare us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Like, if bring again, a, scare us. It's like, you guys want to have sex.
I'm just saying, surprise. Okay. But no, I think that helps. And it helps you guys not feel so alone in the process. Like when you showed me your calendar and brought me in on it and told me what days, it helped me feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I would do the same thing if I was Ashley.
Well, that just got really heated.
Good night.
Look, I'm just pro stay on the same page with ovulation.
I get it.
Because that stuff's so annoying. Because yeah. It's just another month. It's like, I'm not going to let this stupid argument wait another month. And good for you, buddy.
I had a friend who told me that they were trying to conceive and her husband came home from work and she's like, hey, I'm ovulating. This has to happen. And he's like, I'm too tired. I can't do it. So she had him take care of himself. And then they had it in a cup.
What?
And they...
Turkey basted?
Yeah. And she just stood on... She like did a headstand. And
kind
of like...
Are you serious?
I don't know if that works or not, but that's what they did. And I thought that visual was really funny. But
interesting.
Yeah. That's one way to... take, I think, all the intimacy out of it, but it'll get the job done.
All of the intimacy.
Yeah. All of it. I would be almost offended.
I know, right? I thought that was a weird way to do it, but they're pregnant now. Hooray.
Yay. Well, on that note, love you guys. And we'll be on location next time we talk to you from Louisiana.